Welcome, everyone. This is my first committee, and I'm very excited to be here. And hopefully it's going to be a very productive and well-run and efficient and cost-effective committee. Okay. Before we do any formal introductions and discussions, the first order of business is to adopt the committee rules. And I would like to open an organizational meeting. You should have a copy of the rules in front of you dated January 17th, 2005. And I'd like to ask our committee administrator to just briefly summarize them.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Number one, if you see the rules in front of you, require that a quorum be comprised of a majority of the members, which in this case is three members at all meetings. Number two, the rules are applicable to the committee are adopted by a majority of the members of this committee. We do have a quorum here today. And that for these rules to be amended, there must be an affirmative vote of the majority of the committee, at least one day's notice in writing to each committee member. Number three, the chair does call a meeting, sets the agendas, causes notice, and specifies types of meetings. And all these meetings are subject to open meeting, public meeting law. Four, the meetings will be held at regularly scheduled hours or at the call of the chair, and meetings shall be recessed or adjourned by the chair or an affirmative vote of the majority of those present. Number five, we do have a 48-hour advance notice for all meetings. Important is that if the committee does not complete the scheduled agenda during the meeting, it can be carried over. That item can be carried over to the next meeting under several caveats, the first being that it must be originally scheduled 48 hours and give 48 hours notice. It has to be identical type of meeting, such as a public hearing or work session, to the one originally posted. The chair must announce that her intent to schedule it at the next meeting, and then the revised agenda will be posted as soon as possible. Subcommittees can be appointed by the chair. Only the full committee is authorized to take final action. The subcommittee shall be required to refer measures to the full committee. Number seven. It does take an affirmative vote of majority to take any of these several actions, including causing a measure to be introduced, tabling a measure, removing a measure from the table, amending a measure, or sending a measure to the floor. Number eight, upon written request of a majority of members filed with the committee chair and secretary of the Senate, a hearing or a work session shall be set. Again, it has to apply with an appropriate public notice law. Number nine, a motion does not require a second. Number 10, we do take minutes and are required to take minutes and transcriptions of all meetings, and these shall be available to the public, including that is attendance, names, all motions and their disposition, recorded vote on official action, and the announcement of conflict of interest. When measures are introduced by the committee, they are required to contain the indicate the person or organization interest in the measure as indicated at the request of. Number 12 is to do with minority reports. It's important that you, if you do wish to file a minority action on a final action by a committee, it has to be done by 5 p.m. of that session day or before the adjournment of the committee. This is basically applicable to committees that run after 5 o'clock. When this happens, members have 48 hours after giving notice or until 5 p.m. of the second following session day, whichever is earlier, to file the minority report and the Legislative Council draft. I think it's important to note that when this does occur, part of my role is also to assist anybody submitting a minority report, so I will be available to assist from that juncture on. Number 13, if a minority report can only be submitted if there are the person is present at the meeting and there's at least two people that did not vote in the affirmative. So it takes two people who voted against the bill to sign on the minority report. So again, you have to be present. You cannot have voted in the affirmative to sign on to the minority report, and it needs two members. Number 14, proposed amendments. But other than legislative assembly members must be submitted in writing to the committee staff, myself, at least 48 hours prior to the work session at which they are considered, and the chair can waive this rule. And the last one, 15, committee shall not report a measure recommending that it pass with amendments unless the Legislative Council approved amendments are approved by a majority of the members. So we must have the approved amendments here amended or to pass the bill out of committee. And then if there are typos, we can correct those with just the chair's okay.
Do I have a motion
Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator Morissette.
I move that the Health Policy Committee approve the committee rules dated 1-17-05.
Senator Morissette has moved that the Senate Health Policy Committee adopt the proposed rules dated January 17, 2005. Is there a discussion to the motion? Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask a question, if I could, to the committee administrator about the rules.
Yes.
Can I do that, Chair? Can I ask?
Please.
Thank you.
You.
Rule 1, the last sentence, the committee, the last, in the absence of a quorum, the committee may convene as a subcommittee for purposes of taking testimony. Could the subcommittee be one?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I assume it could be. For example, the chair would be here, vice chair, people are here, whatever, and they want to start to at least take testimony. They could go into a subcommittee of one, hit the gavel, and start taking testimony. Is that my understanding? It doesn't have to be like two. It can be as few as one, providing they go into subcommittee.
Yes.
They just have to declare that on the record, right? I know.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yes.
Follow-up. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, those are the opinion that the proposed rules dated January 17, 2005 be adopted will say aye. Those opposed, no.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, I should break. All right, let's do that over again. All those in favor will say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries.
Very good.
Not bad for the first time.
Not bad.
I would like everyone to really introduce themselves, and I will start it out off. Senator Jeff Cruz is not here. He is the vice chair of the Health Policy Committee. He is sick, but I wanted to let everyone know he is the co-owner of the Cruz Farms. He is also a graduate of Willamette University, my alma mater. He's a lifetime resident of Douglas County, and he was married this summer. He's also vice chair of the Human Resources Committee. And he's on the Education and Workforce Committee. Then we have Senator Bill Morissette. He's the former mayor of Springfield, Mayor Bill, as he's known. He has 8 children, 12 grandchildren. He was Oregon Mayor of the Year in 1994. He's chair of the Human Services Committee. He's also on the Education and Workforce Committee. And would you like to say a few words, Senator Morissette?
Well, for the benefit of Senator Courtney, I have 4 great-grandchildren. You put that on your list.
All righty.
I've been involved with the Health Committee since 1999. I served with Senator Cruz, then Representative Cruz. I was the vice chair of that committee, and this is an area that I have a great deal of interest in, and I really appreciate being on this committee. And Senator Mona Sanderson is also on the Human Services Committee, so we will work together. We all come from the House, those 3 people that I mentioned, and we work together there, and we will continue to build upon our experience and get good things accomplished this time.
Great. Senator Gary George, he owns a hazelnut processing plant and Christmas tree farm. He has 5 children and is a grandfather. He's a whopping 6 feet 4 inches tall. He's the tallest member of the committee, I want you to all know. He's the general government vice chair, also on revenue committee. And Senator George, do you have any words of why you're on the committee? And
well, he put me here. It's a pleasure to be back in the health and human services issues. I served on the committee with Bill Fisher a few years ago when we were looking at the agency going through another reformation. And that was interesting. It is an area I think that brings brings more trouble to my heart than probably any other area of government when you realize what we are and are doing. This year we had hearings, independent hearings, on a few issues relative to some of our foster parents, and as we're seeing right now, it's critical that we provide a more supportive environment for our foster parents. Another issue I think is going to be very important this time is for us to deal with the idea of adoption in a more friendly way for the parents that might be willing to adopt. We stumbled across a number just recently that the state of Oregon and the governor's budget will pay for about 9,140 abortions. And as a family that has, that has adopted, I would love to see us provide a structure in which any person who might find themselves in a pregnancy that was unwanted might be able to make some other decisions. So that'll be an issue. And also, as a member of the Revenue Committee, and we were hearing today that we can have an expectation of less federal dollars coming to us, I think it's critical that we streamline this system to make sure that the dollars get to those individuals who, in fact, need the help.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. We are very honored to have the Senate President, Senator Peter Courtney, on the committee. Hopefully, he'll... In his busy schedule, it was so nice for him to be here with us. He is Senate President. He has three sons, one still in high school. He is a professor at Western Oregon University, and he is the voice of Western Oregon athletics. Do you have a few words?
As you know, this is the only committee I'm on. And I've said that I think health care will be the most important, if not the most important, and the most difficult issue we have to deal with. So individually and collectively, the talent's here, with the exception of myself, to deal with this most important issue. So I'm glad that I'm here. I look forward to serving with you. And I may be the voice of the wolves, but I'm sure I won't be the voice of this committee. That will be you, Chair, that will be the voice of the Health Policy Committee of the State Senate.
Thank you, Senator Courtney. We have some great staff. We have our committee administrator, Rick Verkobian. Rick, do you have anything to add?
Not at this point. Thank you, Chair.
And we have our committee assistant, Brittany Kinnison. Welcome. And this is the first time for her, as well as for me, but with the experience of our committee administrator, it's going to be a very productive committee. I'm from Gresham, and I represent Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Fairview. I'm a nurse by trade. I've been in the House for two sessions and served on the Health Committee both times, and I've been on Rules and Environment and Business, and my other committee I'm serving on is the Sub Ways and Means and Senator Morissette's Human Resources Committee and Business and Economic Development. So it's going to be a very busy session for us all. And I'd like to just go right into discussing some of the committee work that we plan to deal with. Senator Morissette, the issues that we sort of divided up issues, and we are going to focus on number one. One of the first things, in fact, Wednesday will be the first informational hearing on mental health. Mental health is extremely important to me, as well as to many members of this committee. And I was so excited when Senator Courtney brought the issue of the state hospital to the media's attention, and there were several articles regarding the state hospital. There's overcrowding, and the physical condition of our state psychiatric hospital really needs work. Not sure if we really need to have legislation, but we are going to have informational hearings, and we are also going to find out about the overall master plan that they have, and if there's any issues that we need to do to expedite that process, we are going to do that. In fact, I just got an email just right at lunchtime where they, and this would be of interest to you, because I know Senator Courtney found that there were a lot of remains of many patients in metal cans and small cardboard boxes. And there is a group, the Mental Health Association of Portland. It plans to design and build a suitable patient memorial for these remains, and they would like a letter of endorsement. So we'll work in, that would be wonderful if they would take that on, and that so that we can address that. There is a lack of community mental health services for people leaving the state hospital. We want to address that issue. There's a lack of community services to prevent state hospitalization. We also want to address that issue. And the number of people with mental illness who end up in jail or prison instead of receiving community mental health services is astronomical, and we really want to also address that community-based housing for these people, and as well as treatment in our communities, is really a necessity. It will help decrease the costs, because the state hospital is a tremendous cost to the state. And one of the goals of our committee, we do want to look at agencies, and they, I know, want to become more efficient and cost-effective. There's a lot of good that's going on with mental health, and we need to find out about that, too. The committee may give a considerable focus to any other comments about mental health before I go on to the next subject.
I'm sorry, did you mention a mental health parity bill? Did that come up?
That will be an issue that we will also discuss, okay. Definitely. Okay. Public health is my background, and the committee is going to give considerable focus to the public mental health system, increasing the ability of the local communities to provide mental health services at the local level, improving the ability of our mental health system to respond to diverse populations, and diverting people with mental health problems into treatment versus the use of jails and prisons. So I hope you're all here for our next meeting on Wednesday, when we start addressing these issues, the Governor's Mental Health Task Force and the Master Plan for the Oregon State Hospital.
May I?
Yes.
There is another issue on mental health, and that is the equity issue among counties, Washington, Multnomah, Clackamas County. Mr. Nickel has been working on that, as has Gina Furman. I don't know that they've ever reached a conclusion. I've recommended that we simply turn it over to Metro and let them handle that problem, and that strikes the fear into the hearts of the county people to turn anything over to Metro. But it is a serious issue, and we need to work toward a solution.
Good, and I noticed that our committee administrator is writing these things down. And I want the committee to know that if there are issues that are coming up, please bring them to my attention, because we want to address these issues if we feel that there's a solution to solve some of the problems that we have. We do have a high number of Oregonians without health insurance, over 500,000 in the state of Oregon, and even higher number for people of ethnic minority populations. So employers are really facing increasing health care insurance premium problems, forcing them to either drop the insurance for employees or passing increases to employees through cost sharing. So we will be addressing that issue. Of course, the rising cost of healthcare services is affecting us all, and the problems are complex, and they're not easy answers. It involves providers, it involves the insurance industry, and the dynamics between the public and private healthcare sectors. So we are going to be addressing those. We are going to be giving considerable attention to health care, including improving access for all Oregonians. We're going to be focusing on helping employers provide affordable health care insurance to workers. The Oregon Health Plan is going to be a part of this committee, and that, of course, you know, is an extreme. We've made drastic cuts, and we do have to address that issue. We want our health care system to become more efficient. Whether we can really come up with a lot of ideas, I'm hoping that we will, but hopefully we will make inroads. They may be big, they may be small, but if we at least start the process down that road, I'm looking forward to addressing those issues. We do have to look for ways to contain our health care costs. We have a new Medicare prescription drug program on Oregonians and state programs, and we want to see what that impact is. The health care workforce issue is a subject near and dear to my heart. We have the highest unemployment in the state of Oregon, yet we have a critical health care workforce shortage, particularly nurses, radiology technicians, etc. Public health is an issue we'll be addressing, and we talked about Medicare. Did I mention Medicare? Yep. And I think that has covered just about everything. So we have a lot of work. It would be nice if we could cover it in 14 weeks, as sort of proposed by the President of the Senate. It would be nice if we could, so that we can get out of here in June. That would be a nice goal. I want to note that Senators Morissette and Vice Chair Cruz serve on both committees, Human Resources and Health Policy, and Senator Morissette and I also serve on the Ways and Means Subcommittee. I'm on the Health Policy Subcommittee. Senator Morissette is on General Government. It's really important to have a connect between the Substantive Committee, the Policymaking Committee, and the Ways and Means. And so this is the first time that they're making a concerted effort toward that, and I'm delighted to be a part of that process. So hopefully we won't have a disconnect and we can be as one. Any other comments from the rest of the committee? I know that our committee administrator has a couple of things he'd like to share with us. Senator George.
Madam Chair, I'm really troubled about something we just said a few minutes ago. Is there any chance we could arrange a tour out to the State Mental Hospital?
I think that would be very appropriate. Yes, very appropriate. If you could check on that, maybe we could do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the suggestion. Excellent. Okay, Rick.
Thank you, Senator. Just a couple things. In front of you is a list called Acronyms Used in Health and Human Services. I know committees normally don't like to hear a lot of acronyms used during testimony, so you can maybe consider this either for things that you read, but if you do come across somebody speaking in acronym language or reading something, this has a pretty extensive list of what they mean.
A comment on that. I am going to continue what Senator Winters has done, and this is primarily for lobbyists, that we will have a jar, and anyone who uses acronyms will have to contribute money to a jar. I just haven't found an appropriate container for that money to go in. And Senator Winters did share that she had raised $130 out of that. So keep the money coming. All right. Oh, and also the money will be used for a charity of some health-related committee.
Now, if I use the acronym AUHHS, that means I'm going to be fined,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
Associated University.
Acronyms used in Health and Human Services.
It's double okay. For senators.
And just one other publication. I think some members may have received this booklet last year. I will make copies. It's a real good primer on Medicaid. And since the committee will be looking at a lot of Medicaid issues over course for the session. I'll distribute a copy to each one of your officers here. It won't be a yellow copy since these are kind of hard to get, but I'll make a photocopy for your references.
That's great. I do plan to start the committees on time at 1 o'clock on Mondays and Wednesdays, and if I'm the only one here, I will definitely go into subcommittee and be a subcommittee of one so that we can start public testimony. And I've talked with each one of the committee members. They're very well aware of that because sometimes our schedules do dictate that maybe we can't always be here. So I like to be very efficient, and if there's no further comments, our first Senate Health Policy Committee is adjourned.